So let's talk about the true Christmas story. So if you are in chapter 1, go down to verse 21. And it is amazing, with a little effort, looking through the scriptures, you find the Christmas story pops up all over. Isaiah 7, Isaiah 9 are famous, like the Christmas card headings. You know, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. I didn't know they were going to play Emmanuel today. Isaiah, that's 7:14, Matthew 1:23. Emmanuel means God with us. That's what it literally means. Isaiah 9 gives us not only the story of the birth, but a prophecy of his destiny, and I want to read that. That's in chapter 9. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Now, if you're not familiar with the book of Isaiah, or the Bible in particular, maybe it's new to you, chapter 7 and chapter 9 from the prophetic book of Isaiah was written just about 500 years before Jesus was born. Our text today in the Gospel of Matthew is the fulfillment of that very prophecy in Isaiah, and the angel Gabriel appearing and speaking to Joseph about Mary says this, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken through by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. Now, I want to focus today on that name Emmanuel. We've been focusing on names for out of Genesis the last few weeks. But I want to focus on the meaning of that name, God with us. Names in the Bible are important. It was typical to name a child in association with the nature of your child, or maybe an event that happened when the child was born. For instance, Isaac and Rebekah named Esau, they named him Red because he was kind of red when he came into the world. And you know, we think about that today. You see people with red hair. I have, my son has red hair, my grandson has red hair, and sometimes they call him Red. Esau means red. So it's not unusual for that to happen. I mean, we do it in our society. We pick what the favorite songs are of the year. But back then, they would name their children according to an event or something that was happening. And you can learn a lot about the biblical characters by looking at the meaning of the names. And I hope I have been encouraging you guys to look at the meaning of the names in the Bible. Get yourself a little dictionary, Bible dictionary or concordance. You can look it up. It adds a lot of story to the text that you're reading. And it's important to pay attention to those names because God has intervened and directed the parents to give that child a particular name. The prophetic nature of Isaiah chapter 7 predicts that a virgin would give birth and bear a son, and his name would be called Emmanuel, God with us. Or more literally, God himself is among us. That's literally what that means. Now, theologically speaking, we call it the incarnation, where God comes in the flesh, God taking on human form and walking amongst us. I don't know about you, but I mentioned in the prayer, my brain has just kind of exploded with the things that the Lord has been connecting in the Bible with me, with Genesis, with different things. And it's just amazing to me how incredible God is, that he can do this from the very beginning to the end. It blows my mind. But I don't know if you can wrap your brain around how incredible that is, that God himself injected himself into the human history personally when Jesus was born. He's here with us, God with us, Emmanuel. He's dwelling with us. He's living with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. So think about this. God himself shared, we think, about 33 years of human history, being born as a baby in Bethlehem, growing up in Nazareth, eventually dying for our sins on the mountain we call Calvary, in a little nation called Israel. And here's something to consider. The task of salvation of mankind, and you in particular, was so important. And this is to you personally, and to me personally. This is so important to understand that it was impossible that God could send anybody but himself. He himself had to come. It couldn't be a prophet, couldn't be an angel, couldn't be another man, but he himself, you know, God so loved the world. God so loved you, Linda, and you, Mike, or Trish, or anybody here. God so loved the world that he came himself to die for our sins. So I think that's important to really consider when we look at this title, God with us. These are just a few verses, but there's a lot in there. He came to us, right? This is my outline. He came for us, and then God is with us. Those are my three points that I want to just bring out today. First of all, God, that he came to us. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Now, Christmas cards and nativity scenes have perpetuated the myth of Christmas. There's this really myth, and I kind of like the myth. I grew up in a family that celebrated Christmas. I remember having a paper route during that period of time, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old, and going house to house, and you would do your collections around that time of the year because you'd want to get a tip and different things like that. And you'd throw the paper on the porch, but you would personally greet them around the time of Christmas. But it was there's a lot of joy. People were celebrating Christmas. But think about this myth that we see in our society today, that clean, and we're talking about Christmas cards or nativity scenes, that clean, very tidy manger, a well-organized circle of people around the baby, right? The shepherds kneeling before Jesus with the three kings, you know, completing the circumference. They've got the gifts. Mary, she has this virtuous costume, blue. It's always blue and white, if you ever notice that. Never resembling anyone that just had a baby. Joseph, he's off to the side, but he's visible. And how different the birth of God was in reality. You know, for a barn, it would have a familiar odor, right? It would have a familiar odor. The hay was not as clean as you would imagine. The manger was, well, it was a animal trough. It was a feed trough that what we could understand. And you think about saliva, and you think about other contaminants, not very hygienic for the baby. For someone that has created trillions of stars, Jesus is the creator of the universe. So for someone that has created trillions of stars and billions of galaxies, the Bethlehem scene was rather disappointing, or was it? This is what God purposed. I've often pondered why God didn't wait to be born in modern times, you know, a clean, modern hospital, sterile and warm, or even if God stuck in the same timeline, could have picked a different town where the accommodations would have been a lot more comfortable. But there's no coincidences with God. He chose to be born in a stable on that day. And that makes me think about his humility, God's humility. When you begin to take the whole story of his birth, you begin to understand that he came to us. He came to us to be like us, to understand us in a real way. Emmanuel, God is with us. His birth demonstrates God reaching out to man. What man could not do for himself, man could not reach the heavens. I think we sing a song where Jesus brought heaven down. He brought heaven down. His birth demonstrates God, he's just reaching out to us. But his life was the same. He grew up in a bad neighborhood. Nazareth was not a great neighborhood. It was a bad reputation. Oh, no prophet's going to come out of Nazareth. He grew up relatively poor. Probably a blue-collar carpenter like his father Joseph. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about the choices God made before he left heaven. This was not a fluke. It was not a random, but purpose. And why? Why all this? Because he wanted to relate to his creation in a way that we would understand his great love toward us. We do not know a lot of the history between the birth and the beginning of his ministry. We do know that he understood who he was when he was about 12 years old. He understood his mission. I must be about my father's business. You know, the book of Hebrews also tells us that he was tempted in every way. Now, I want you guys to think about, I don't know about you, sometimes I get some pretty weird thoughts in my mind, weird temptations, weird thoughts. Think about the worst of the worst that you've been tempted, or the book of Hebrews tells us that he was tempted in every way that we've been ever tempted. He's been tempted, maybe you're anxious, or maybe you're depressed, or maybe, you know, you're tempted in this way or that way. He experienced every one of those things that we go through. He experienced all of it. And I look at that so we can understand that God was with us, but he became like us. He became like us. That means every temptation you've ever had or will have, he's experienced all of those things. Emmanuel, God is with us. He is among us. He came to us. So he came to us. He came to us, but he also came for us. He came for us. The purpose of God in the human body for 33 years, and we sang a song today that he rescued us. It was a rescue mission. If God would not intervene in our lives, all of us would be together in eternity, but not in a very good place. And I'm talking forever and ever. So he came for us. It was a rescue mission. Our text today says, and I've always loved this verse. You guys might have seen me repeating this verse in other studies. And she will bring forth a son, speaking to Joseph, Gabriel speaking to Joseph, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So the name Jesus, or what we would say, it would say Yeshua or Joshua. Actually, I named my son. I named all three of my kids in one form after, we named them Jessica, which is the grace of God. We named Joshua, which is God is salvation. And then we named my youngest son Daniel, or we say Danny, but we named him God is my judge. So we named our kids in that way. But the name Yeshua, or Jesus, literally means God is our salvation. Jesus said in the Gospels of John that he did not come to condemn the world, but to save it. This tells me one thing. He is for you. He is for you. He is for us. He didn't come to condemn the world. He is for us. He is on our side. To be able to think about that, God is on your side. God is on your side. He's going to get you from start to finish to heaven. He's going to get you. He's going to save you from your sins. God is not our enemy. The mission of God coming into the world was to reconcile the world back to himself. We know, I told somebody the other day, he said, did you see that news thing about that shooting? And I said, I can't even put the local news on anymore. I just can't because it just floods my mind. The mission of God coming into the world was to reconcile the world back to himself. Sin has had these horrible repercussions on our world. And we know, most of you would be not sitting here if you didn't understand the repercussions of sin in your own life and how you had to turn your life over to God. The repercussions of on this world is just outrageous. We look at the wars, we look at the horrible things that happen in Israel, we look at the horrible things that happen in Chicago. You know, sin is the root cause of all our problems in the world. All the problems that we experience personally are from our sin nature. And there's no escaping sin. There's no escaping the consequences of sin apart from Jesus, which means he's our salvation. Jesus is our salvation. You know, sin has condemned the world eternally. And the mission of Jesus, the mission of God, was to open up a path to heaven. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You guys get a chance during this Christmas season. Encourage you guys to read from chapter 13 onward of the Gospel of John, the discourse of what Jesus said to the disciples, even into the cross and even into the resurrection. It's an amazing story. Just pick a chapter, 13, 14, 15, and you'll see the mission that he came for us. And whoever's going to believe him would have, he promised us, if you believe in me, you will have eternal life. You will live forever. And not just live forever, but be blessed forever, joy forever. Something that we might get a little bit taste of right now, but in the fullness, it's going to blow your mind. I don't even know if that can be an expression in heaven, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You know, there's a payment for sin, and God took it upon himself on the cross when he dipped himself into the world. The purpose was to pay for your sins, to take it upon the cross. The Bible says that God was in Christ, reconciled the world back to himself, or reconciled us back to himself. If God is for us, who can be against us? And that something has to ring in your minds. He came for us to reach out to us individually. He came for you. Individually, he came for you. He came to us, and he came for us. But let me highlight the one last point that I put in here. God is with us. And what I mean by that he's here this morning amongst us. Jesus says, where two or three are gathered together, I am there in the midst of you. And he's here right now with us. God is with us. And that he's here this morning with us. And not only that, but everywhere, all the time, he's with you. He doesn't abandon you. He doesn't, he's having a hard time right now. I'll be back in a little while and we'll pick it up where we left off. God is with us. And God is with us in both fellowships and our relationship. Jesus ascended back to heaven. He sits on the right hand of the Father with all power, but he has not abandoned us. He has sent the earnest, you know, that earnest means the engagement. The Holy Spirit is in us as a down payment, not only to help us in this lifetime, but also to say, this is the down payment for the fullness of the forgiveness of sins. and he has not abandoned us. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. You know, as we spend our time on planet Earth, you know, God is continually saving. You guys know how that is. You go through your trials, you overcome the trials, you receive that grace and that joy and the fruit of the Spirit, and then he gives you another trial. He gives you something else to be faithful in, something else to go through, something else to trust him in. But he draws us into fellowship by the Holy Spirit that he gives to every believer who trusts in his salvation. And that, and I trust that the Holy Spirit is in all of us. I trust that. I know the Holy Spirit's in me. I trust that. The true mission of Jesus was to restore the broken relationship with every individual on planet Earth. Now, not everybody makes that choice. To make personal contact with everyone of us sitting in the church today, to bring us back home. That's what it is. Sin brings us away from home. Jesus brings us back home with what he has done. To be with us. Or, so you might say God is with us. God is with you because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. So God extending his hand by, like a father to a son or a daughter, he extends his invitation to all of us, even in this Christmas story. You know, to the believer, he extends that invitation that you might go deeper with him. I'm not satisfied with teaching about God. I'm really satisfied when it gets inside of you guys and you grow deeper with them. That, to me, is a pastor's heart, to be able to see. And I see growth. I see people growing. I see people starting off and then growing in the grace of God. But he's extending his hand to all of us, you know, to the believer. God extends that invitation that you would go deeper with him. And that's my heart here, is that the things that we provide up here, the things that we provide in the church, the things that we provide in our outreach, is that you might grow deeper with him. We're going to be talking a lot about that in the beginning of the year, just to go deeper with God. So God is extending his hand that you might have that comfort that he is with you. It's the gift of God, that eternal life through Jesus Christ. So it's the Christmas story. This is the Christmas story, is that the angel Gabriel speaking to Joseph, he will save his people from their sins. I love that. I love the fact of that. So he came to us. That would be to that we would understand him. He came for us, a rescue. And then God is with us. He's reaching out. So, Emmanuel, God is with us. I was glad that Janine picked out that song. How do you respond to him? Or how do you respond to his birth? Or how do you respond to his open hand? I always love, and that's why I asked her in the beginning, did you put down Joy to the World? And we'll play that probably next week. Part of the verse goes like this, and I don't know if a lot of people understand, Joy to the World is more about his second coming than his first coming. But here's a part of the song that really always hits me. It says, Joy to the world, the Lord is come. And he's talking about his second coming. Let earth receive her king. But here's the kicker that always gets me. Let every heart prepare him room. Let every heart prepare him room. When we sing that, pay attention to those words. When we sing that next week, let your heart prepare him room. In other words, move everything out of the way and let him into your heart. Push all of that, all the things of this life out of the way and let him into your heart. Do you have room in your heart for the Lord Jesus? You know, I often wonder what I could give to God that he doesn't already have. He got everything. You guys know those people that got everything for, and I don't know what to get them for Christmas. I mean, they got everything. It's kind of like that with God. What do you give to God that has everything? What do you give to God that he hasn't given to you? What kind of gift can you give to God at Christmas time? You know, for a God that has created the heavens and the earth, galaxies and stars, what kind of gift can you give to God? You prepare him room in your heart. You move all that aside. Everything. You move everything aside and let him be number one. All those other things will fall into place. Everything that is necessary. Seek first the kingdom of God, and what? All these things shall be added to you. I just want to read one thing out of Isaiah, because when I was reading all this, I just thought about the glory of God. So Isaiah 57, 15, and we'll close with this. It says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." That's what God wants. Humbleness, contrite heart before him. Emmanuel. Right? You guys know what it means, right? God is with us. And just prepare him room. Prepare him room. So.